Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God. Well, welcome back. It is December 30th. We are here for episode 5. Kenny and I have been going back through and realizing it has been a little over 4 weeks since we have done a podcast. So a lot of life has happened and several Sundays in between. So excited to kind of catch up and share life.
Well, let's see. Since the last episode, we have had Thanksgiving. For us personally, we've had an anniversary.
Yeah,
Chrissy's had her 30th birthday.
Thanks for being so nice.
You're welcome. We've had Christmas, and tomorrow we're going to get the train started on New Year's and welcome in 2025 with a bang.
Yes.
So, yeah, so much has definitely been out here and a lot with us just kind of getting through this portion of this season. There's been a lot of ups and downs and roller coasters that we've been riding, you know, here in our marriage and our parenting and a lot of stuff in between.
Yes, absolutely. The last 4 weeks have been full of, like you said, a lot of holidays. We've had family time. We've had birthdays and anniversaries, and your job is taking you away for a little bit of time. So that was a bit. And Maddie had softball camp, which was absolutely exciting to watch her do that. And then of course all of my volunteering stuff. So our schedules have been very, very full over the last few weeks, that's for sure.
Well, a couple of things, you know, we took a different approach to Thanksgiving this year in particular. We really decided as a family that we feel like we have been blessed by God in so many different ways, and we just had this desire in our heart to maybe bless some other folks, and going through that, we kind of banded together and had some friends that joined us in this project. But we ended up doing a lot of meal prep and Thanksgiving meals for some other folks in the community that definitely needed somebody to kind of light up their day a little bit. And you know, for me personally, it was just an amazing experience to be able to serve other people and to see God work in some ways that I didn't know that I was going to experience emotionally. I didn't really know going into it that it was going to have some of the effects, you know, on me, and then watching the kids and then some other friends' kids that helped too. You know, it was just a very fulfilling experience, you know, to just feel something so rewarding. And it wasn't because of anything else than understanding the magnitude of God's grace and blessing and his honor in our lives when he gives us things that we're able to share with others.
Absolutely. Ultimately, we took an opportunity to do something different, because it seems like for the majority of our marriage, we have spent Thanksgiving on the road, gone, traveling, visiting, whatever that looked like. So this year being a year that we knew we would be home, to be able to serve our community in a way that it was very, very just out of the norm for us. But I feel like God calls us to serve. That's ultimately what our purpose here on earth is to be a servant. And fulfilling that role and doing it with love and joy and with other people alongside of us with that same goal and that same mission, it was very rewarding and very joyous and filled my spirit to be able to help other people. And I think if I could bottle that up and harness it and live it every single day, that's my goal, would be to be that servant.
Well, it's kind of, you know, interesting that you talk about the servanthood, because I think that maybe is a lesson that we're sitting in right now as a party of two. Mm. How are we serving each other, or the lack thereof? You know, just again, full transparency with you guys here. You know, Chrissy and I have really had a rough couple weeks. There's been the busy. That's not an excuse, but it certainly has contributed to some of the shortness that we've had with each other. But we've had some pretty deep riffs over some serious topics and some not so serious topics. The outcome was always the same, though, where we were pitching a fence and taking sides and digging into our positions and going to battle with each other. And, you know, a person that God has called me to be my ally here, my closest friend, a person that I am called to serve, you know, as my spouse, I'm doing just the opposite. I'm lobbing the grenades at you. I'm not shielding you from it now, you know, and that's not been a very fruitful process.
Well, I think the what you just said kind of hit me different in pitching a fence, and to that visual aid of what we've both been doing over the last several weeks is we've both been pitching fences, and my fence has been pitched in protection, and yours has been from a place of I'm right, you are wrong. And we've been battling against each other from the opposite sides of the fence.
It's been a ton of, you know, just self-assessment for me. A lot of pride and arrogance has been in play. I felt wronged. Felt like I was on every bit of the side of right. And because of that, I took the time to rally against you in every way that I could. I was not going to give up any ground. I was not going to concede. I was not going to admit any wrong. And I certainly was not going I was not going to let you walk away unscathed. And I mean, just kind of to say it in those terms, looking at it now, it's like, that's cruel and unusual punishment from the man that is supposed to be here to protect you always. You know, and if it was the other way around, it wouldn't make it any better.
Right.
But to hear kind of the confessing of it of that way, it's like, you know, I was fighting to be right, and winning that game was really going to lose everything in between. And you know, these fights we've had some disagreements with some of the ways that we have talked about some things we were going to parent with the kids. We have had some disagreements over simple stuff like how we were going to approach a situation or where we were going to go or what we were going to do. Like we've used a lot of the stressors of the holidays that have put us on edge and allowed that to just let each other kind of behave badly. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, right. it's just been what it's been. And it's not been the examples that we hope that other people see in us for sure. But even if nobody else was looking at us, if we were only looking at each other, it's not the man that I want you to be married to.
I think about this season and just how God has moved in our lives. Full confession, I don't know that either one of us would have wanted anybody sitting in our home witnessing how we dealt with each other, how we handled conflict. It wasn't pretty. Our emotions very much were ruling the roost. And we know in our walk with God that actions lead, emotions follow. But when we are in the heat of just fullness and you're overwhelmed, it's easy to succumb to the emotional place that you get to. And truth is, we're constantly being refined and we're constantly, you know, God is constantly working in our lives to grow us and stretch us. And I think in this season, in all of the junk, it's not just been us. And I think that's where I feel like God is really using us in a unique way, in a way that is kind of ugly and kind of, it's hard. But looking back, how do you relate to other people who are hurting and who are broken? You hurt yourself and you're broken yourself. And isn't that what God did? He sent his son to walk the earth, to feel every emotion, every feeling, and he hurt for us and he hurt with us. So there's nothing that happened to Jesus anything we go through, we can relate. We can relate on that level that Jesus bore the pain. So here we are walking through the season right now, and we have really embraced, and other families and couples have embraced us in this season of junk. And
well, it's forced us also, you know, in light of when you bring kind of the other people into it, it's forced us at some of these points of non-resolution or not even being able to communicate with each other, being dug in so hard,
right,
to reach out to now some of these other people and say, I'm not necessarily coming to you looking for an answer, but if I don't get this junk out of me, if I don't express this in some healthy manner, all I'm going to do is backfill my marriage with this junk right now.
Right.
So can you be a sounding board for me, if nothing else, momentarily, to just hear me out? And by all means, when you hear me, I'm open to counsel. I'm open to listen, you know. And surprisingly enough, in my men's circle, the number of times that I reached out, somebody else was literally in the same fight, almost identically at the same time. It was not by mistake,
right,
that I've crossed paths with some of these other men,
right,
and or vice versa. That right. It's like, obviously we all need to step away from our bubble for a little bit sometimes to see something with somebody else, you know, that God gives us to kind of to work on and sharpen.
Right,
and I know you've had some very great and detailed and intimate conversations with some of your ladies,
yes,
and had some of those same interactions of, hey guys, I'm not okay, I'm not all right right now. I don't know how to say it, but I need help. And if you ever know me much, you'll know that I am probably the last person that will ask for help.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And I know you very good, and I know you're probably the last person I know that asked for help.
Yeah.
So when we get to the point of breaking down in public to somebody else, it's at a true breaking point. It's at right. a point that we can't contain it anymore. And there's so much damage going on inside of us now that not only are we hurting our spouse or the people that are around us or our kids, but now we're hurting ourselves. Right. You begin that self-mutilation side of this process, and it becomes detrimental.
And I think that's another good point too, that when you say that we're the last people to ask for help, and I don't want to be known for that. I don't want to be known, but truth is that our path and our walks, we have been very prideful and keep ourselves, as we've shared before, that, you know, putting that mask on that everything's good and everything's great and I don't need help. So to remove those layers, to remove those places of pride, to say, and to walk into relating with other women or asking other women to pray for you or to just share in that struggle. For me, there's always been this fear of rejection. And I think that's what another part of holding back that, do I ask for help? Do I share with anybody? Because am I going to be rejected? And seeing how God is moving, seeing how God is growing me, that I'm willing to reach out to other women.
It's a big step.
It is. Absolutely.
I know you. I know everything that you could possibly know about you, and it's a big step.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the things, you know, Christy and I did some pre-podcast, pre-talk, some pre-game, if you will, just kind of, hey, well, how are we going to circle this one up? What are we opening the door to, you know, in this episode? And I think one of the themes that we kind of came across was, you know, resolution or the lack thereof. And us sitting in a season right now of having a multitude of things that kind of hang around us unresolved, things that we can't quite find an answer to as a couple, individually, with our kids. It's also been it's a very busy time, lots of changes in all parts of our family.
Right.
And that does create a lot of unresolution that exists. And for you, you're a person of resolution.
I need closure. I just want to fix things. I want to, if there's a problem, let's fix it. If there's a situation that needs to be altered, let's come up with a plan. Let's find the problem. Let's logistics. I love logistics. Let's work the path of fixing things. And when there's no resolution,
which is work,
when there is no healing and hurt feelings, how do you keep moving forward? How do you keep growing? How do you, like, how does the day-to-day, we can't stop living life.
Right. And so in the stalemate, you know, this is what I hear you saying, in the stalemate between the two of us, when, mm-hmm. when we're at mm-hmm. an arm's length right now,
right,
which we have been, and I guess in some ways kind of still are, we're not really at an arm's length as in we're fighting right this moment.
Right.
But, you know, us sitting here, we still have some of those same balls of some of those same issues that are technically unresolved.
And I think for me, I'm not always looking for a resolution. I'm looking for identification and discussion of a problem so that we can avoid that same outcome in the future. And it's when we can't talk successfully about the problem and we can't resolve that problem, then there's a constant fear and nagging inside of this is just going to happen again. So it's not always necessarily the needing to have a complete resolution of somebody's right, somebody's wrong. It can be like we talked about before, that agree to disagree.
And see, for me, I guess as I'm sitting here doing some, you know, therapeutic listening in this, I'm finding myself hear it very different. And I'm not finding myself listening to resolution as dissecting a problem so that we can avoid the same pitfall later.
Right.
I see resolution as assigning blame, assigning correctness,
right,
and who walks away the winner.
Right.
And that's not really resolution. That's a victory.
Right.
Which is a completely different outcome. That would imply that one of the two of us has to come out on top.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at a godly marriage as a whole, then we're supposed to be shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
There is no winner here. We are both winning or we are both losing. So right. If I keep looking at resolution like, okay, we're going to have this conversation until one of the two of us comes out a winner,
mm-hmm.
then I'm approaching that with you. I'm approaching that with you and have been approaching that with you as I'm going to bring my facts to the table. I'm going to lawyer up. And we're going to go to the mat here until you see this my way, or I become so, you know, aware of the problem that is mine that I submit and I concede and now I give the victory to you. And then I leave that with my tail between my legs and
that
pridefully walk that away.
And that approach, unfortunately, always means there's a loser.
Right.
And I think over the last several weeks, if I just really analyze myself, now don't get me wrong, I have been wrong in my approach and allowing my emotions to charge a good majority of how I approached things over the last few weeks. Ultimately, my goal is never to be right. It's just to be understood and heard. And with that is connection. And it's not, if you are making decisions that are hurtful and I'm sharing that, I just want you to see that those decisions are hurtful so you don't make them again. And I'm not hurt again. It's not about a right or wrong. It's because you could be very valid in the decision that you're making. It's like, but the way you went about that was really hurtful. So,
and the intended outcome sometimes is not what it is. So the decision itself may not necessarily have had a wrong or a bad motive, right. But the outcome had an unintended impact.
Absolutely.
And that you're not removed from the unintended outcome.
Right.
You're still responsible for right. the outcome.
Right.
And I think that's something that I'm having to realize a lot is that, you know, what makes sense in my head.
Well, it's almost like you're conceding to being wrong when in your heart you didn't make a decision that was intentionally harmful. And I think when we are in a God space of communication, we can communicate those things in a way that we don't intend to hurt each other. Now, do we get mad and do things intentionally? Absolutely. And over the last few weeks, I think we've been pretty harsh with each other. But big scale, I think when you pull away the survival tactics that we have really resulted to over the last few weeks, it's like we're just trying to survive here. So we are fighting our way tooth and nail through each of these situations. When you pull away that hard outer shell and get to both of our hearts, neither one of us want to hurt each other. Neither one of us want to feel the way that we feel. I don't intentionally want to disrespect you or demean you or make you feel bad for a decision you made. And I don't think that you want me to feel the way that I have felt over the last few weeks either. But it's what we've done. And we've got to figure out how to not do that, because it does create these hard layers, outer layers, that then when the next conflict comes, we've got that hard layer we have to work through. And that's.
And then there's this whole idea that, you know, we start playing through the hierarchy of marriage and that, hey, listen, I am the husband. I am the leader of the home. You need to kind of step behind me, and yeah. I need you to follow me. And you'll look at me and, hey, you're dead wrong. You were about to walk us over the cliff, and here I am charging away, like, get in line, let's go, you know. And you're very clearly, like, your vision is able to see the predatory danger that exists that I'm blinded to in that moment, and you know. In some of my conversation with you know, one of the men that I was kind of just going through and venting to, you know, I came across this own sort of realization of how we operate in a car. And I think I shared with this, yeah. After, it's like, if I'm driving the car and you're sitting in the passenger seat, you know, I have a primary focus to keep it between the lines, you know, so I look forward a lot, and that's kind of where my focus is. Don't hit the other cars. Keep it, you know, in my side of the road and do that. I don't have a whole lot of movement to look, a lot left and a lot right, because every time I take my eye off the road, the wheel usually goes in the direction that I look. You in the passenger seat don't have that responsibility at the moment to keep the car between the lines. So you can look all over the place. And the number of times, metaphorically speaking, that you see a hazard that there's no way I could have seen,
right.
Because I have such a split second to look off axis to do it. And you're like, hey, There's something coming. There's an animal over there. They're about to cross the road. You can't see them yet. I can. You sit over there and you bow up and you say nothing because you want me to learn my own lesson. I'm going to follow him. He said to follow, so I'm going to follow. You know, that's one approach. Or you say, hey, Kenny, look, there's something that's ahead that's harmful here. We're all in this same car together.
Here's the thing. If I don't tell you about that caution, if I don't give you a warning or lead you to that cautionary place, you hit the deer, we're all in the accident together.
That's
we're
right.
all injured. And I think that respect goes both ways. And you being open to hear where I'm coming from, but me also respecting that you are in charge of keeping us between those two lines, and me not leaning over into your space to grab the wheel because I think that you're not doing a good job. Maybe you're swaying a little bit. Maybe you are getting closer to one side of the line or the other. I can't jump over into the driver's seat and grab that wheel. I have to allow you to be the leader. So I think that there are places and spaces and seasons that we both have a role that are together. And I think that's it's all a mutual respect. It's me respecting that you're not falling asleep over there, that you are keeping it in between the lines. But, you know, sometimes you may go off the side of the road and a lesson may need to be learned. But think about that adrenaline rush when you've hit those rumble strips on the side of the road and you're trying to whip it back in. Like, I think God brings us through places like that and gets us pumping to be more focused and aware. But sometimes we might have to go off the road a little bit.
And sometimes trusting God in your spouse's life that he's got the rumble strips there, that when they do get a little bit out of alignment, they're going to get the rumble strips, yeah, heed the warning, and then course correct back in without you having to humanly intervene.
Right.
But being the biblical helpmate that you are, I do believe that we are charged with each other to truly be that second set of eyes on some stuff, which again circles right back into where we've been, in that you know, we do have two brains, two sets of eyes, two opinions, two different sets of emotions, and two very different characteristics of how we approach and deal with life. And while I think when we are in alignment with each other, the symbiotic relationship between us is amazing. Like, it's a force that can't be reckoned with. But man, when we separate those and we use them against each other, it's the most catastrophic accident you've ever seen coming.
Absolutely.
And it's in slow motion. And, you know, what we were talking about in our pregame was, you know, I asked you a simple question. I said, in this idea of resolution, what does resolution actually mean to you? Is this a physical thing? Is this a tangible thing? Is this the actual I'm sorry, or the act of somehow in that? Or is, you know, what did you say? It was a feeling. Talk, you know,
at peace. And when I think of resolution, I think of peace. It is a feeling. It's a breath of fresh air. It's not heavy. It's light.
So then I countered that immediately by saying, if it's a feeling, which I actually, you know, very much agree with, and I liked the way that you kind of summated that, you know, between the two of us, is if we don't actually come up with an action in our resolution, or we find that peace, even though nothing actually changed other than maybe our own internal attitudes, is it okay to move forward now? Because like you said earlier, we can't stop living.
Right.
Like, if we stay in a stalemate, it's awkward around the house. We know it. The kids know it. Pretty much anybody that bumps into you knows it. Everything becomes amplified and heightened, and it's just a mess everywhere you go. And that's not productive. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I think too, something that I think throughout our walk and throughout our growth with in our relationships with God, you know, something that is said a lot is actions lead, feelings follow. So that feeling of peace is followed by choices and actions. And I think that we talk about resolution as a very exact, purposeful act. Whereas it could just be choosing to respect each other and choosing to respect where the other person is coming from. And if our hearts are in the right place, just being peaceful at knowing that both sides of the situation has been heard. And I think we've had some, you know, and this will be another podcast for its own self in the future. But our intimacy and how it has been a struggle over the last year, let's say, it's been really heightened, I think. We have had some in-depth conversation about that topic. And while that topic recently has brought on some very heated conversations, in the past, it was I can remember specific places in a trip back and forth to Pensacola that you and I had very detailed conversations about this topic and how we understood each other. Like, you heard me in a way, there was no resolution, but there was peace surrounding it. There was a hope that we were moving in the right direction because perspectives were changing. And I think with each conflict that we address, most recently, it's been just really surrounding parenting. Whether it's adult children or children who are very close to being of adult age, we have had differing opinions and haven't been able to communicate with each other in a way that was respectful and considerate of the other person. So we have just kind of been battling our way through some topics, not life or death, obviously, because we're still making it through. But
I thought some of them were life or death because you were going to kill me.
I was not going to kill you.
So I wonder, you know, and again, we talked a little bit about this in the pre, is it okay to agree to disagree? Can you still be functionally active with each other and agree to disagree? You know,
I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on, in some of our recent topics of conflict, I do think that there are places to agree to disagree and allow time and prayer to mold us into how God wants to use us in those situations. Because I think sometimes God calls us just to be still, calls us to pause and pray. And in those moments, making the choice to go to Him and not be looking for finality with each other and finding and seeking that in God and not here on earth. Like, it's not, we can't fill and find all of the answers humanly sometimes. We need to just stop and pause and pray. And if I feel so strongly that God is calling me in a certain scenario, if we aren't seeing eye to eye, it's my responsibility to take that to God, because God is going to work on you so that we are on the same page at the same time that He calls us to be. So I think that's the lesson that each of us have to learn in that maybe God's bringing us to this conflict so that we'll seek Him and not each other.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And it's probably one of the most relatable things to say, but I think when we are dead square in the middle of a problem, and this is just by human nature, it's when most of us humans will go to God the fastest,
right?
In trauma. Yeah. It's when we decide, I can't do it anymore now, so let me try, you know, the God piece. And that, you know, as a non-believer, you know, that may be something that is, you know, okay to kind of say in that perspective. And as a believer, it's somewhat disappointing to say that even as a very, you know, mature believer, I get that way sometimes, that I do so much myself that once I hit the wall, I'm like, well, I've really got to the end of this road now. Right. Okay, God, let me come to you. And He's like, man, I've been here the whole time.
Right.
I've literally been here the whole time. You could have worked through this with me.
Right.
But you felt like you needed to do it all this, and you carried the burden and you carried the weight, and I don't need you to do that. And I think between the two of us, sometimes we get that way, that we're unwilling to find that disresolution and walk away at peace for a little bit and let God carry that burden for us between us. Because I think sometimes in that silence, we do find some of the greatest breakthroughs.
Absolutely. But I think what we don't do a good job at is circling back. And it that twinge of hurt and brokenness, that even in the peace of agreeance and the peace of agreeing to disagree, and still finding joy, there still may be a wound there that needs to be circled back. And
so what are some things, I'm not just talking to you. Other people are going to listen, but I'm talking to you because I want to know. What are some things that maybe have happened over the last couple of conflicts that maybe worked? Something maybe I did that you're like, okay, that broke my shell a little bit.
You are really looking for a pat on the back here.
Nah.
Yes, you are.
Nah, I'm taking notes.
No. You're looking for a pat on the back. But okay, I'll give it to you. There was a moment of frustration and just really at the wit's end. And the one thing that you do is that I love and it breaks all the walls down is play the guitar. And you came into my space and played a guitar until I broke. And
but I feel like there was more to it than that. That was enough to break the ice, but I remember standing at the wall, and that was a place where you have written scriptures on your wall for probably the last two and a half years. I remember standing there reading the scriptures, and I had no words that could come out of my mouth. And as I sat there and read the scriptures to myself, I felt the Spirit, and I felt the power come into the room where I was standing, and I felt this urge, and it was very awkward for me to say that the scriptures out loud to you, but I felt like there was this Spirit that was on me that just said, I don't know why these are here right now, I don't know why that you're seeing these, but say these things.
Well, we can't argue with scripture. We can't. It's the living word. We can't argue with it. So when this is what God calls us to do, is to seek his face and to seek his word when we're in conflict. So of course it's going to be hard to read, because what does Satan want to do? Satan wants division. Satan wants division between us and God. Satan wants division in our homes, in our marriages, with our kids. So
that is something that for me, point of admiration that I have about you is something that every time I've ever watched you in a conflict, whether it was with other people or whether it was with me, one of the things that I've watched you do the most consistently is worship.
Mm, yes.
You worship. And sometimes it has been a song on repeat. Sometimes it has just been you in here. I'm pretty sure in our last one, when I promise you, I was marching around the house furious. I physically was marching my feet. I was so mad. And you were in this prayer room, and I'm almost certain that you had the headphones on, and you were singing, at the top of your lungs.
Like, I was.
You had no idea whether you were in tune or out of tune.
I didn't care.
But you didn't care. But you... That's all you could. You were. I feel like I had placed you in such a place of helplessness.
Oh, yes.
That all you could do right there was surrender. You couldn't read the Bible at the moment, because all it was going to do was point you to things that you already knew in that moment. You couldn't have a conversation with me because I was locked in. We were not talking. So I think this is all I can do. I close my eyes. I let the Spirit come on me for a moment. And I don't know that it solved a problem, but I think it somewhat softened the layers enough to let God at least let us not see each other as the enemy for a moment.
It removed the anger. And I I've shared a lot about my past and just in the multitudes of things that I look to, that I work really hard to change and break generationally. And anger is one of them. And when we get to that place of a stalemate, the anger is very strong. It's a strong emotion, and worship and anger can't reside in the brain at the same time. So, you know, it's when you're at a point where you don't know the words to pray, all you know to do is worship. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. And
but it's a fight. It's a battle at that point. It's the ability. And the reason I brought these things up was again, truly not for a pat on the back.
I was just picking at you.
I'm hoping maybe that somehow we can emphasize or illustrate just some things that we actually are trying, because it's just because we turn worship music on doesn't mean it actually works in that every single time. Or if we find a scripture, doesn't mean it. I mean,
really, there's a lot of times you get in my car at pretty much any time and worship music is on. There's a good majority of times that I don't hear the music playing. And I'm really glad that the Christmas music is gone. Just saying, it's nice to have my Channel 65 back. But there's a lot of times I don't even hear what it's playing. Like it's there because I feel like it's a way to just constantly be grounded in spiritual connection, but I'm not always listening to it. So it doesn't always mean that it's permeating the mind and the heart all the time. But it is playing and it is there just like God.
And I also think it places us at a point of humility. I think that when we are in the middle of the fight, the human fight, and we have to come to a place of scripture, prayer, worship, pick any one of those mechanisms of you know, spiritual offense.
Right.
It places us at a point of humility in realizing that we may be going through the motion now, but God is really, that's what we're doing. We're now submitting. We're maybe even without saying, sometimes we're just like, hey, I can't do this. I don't know what else to do now.
Right.
You know, and even when we look at each other, that point of humility, you know, it brings me to tears, and you know, I don't cry very often, but when I get to that point of absolute breaking down, that's what happens.
And on the other flip side of that is, you know, I as a spouse don't ever want to be so hardened that I'm not soft to that side to you. It is an intentional decision to allow that softness to show. When you have broke me down so much to a point where I have put up all walls in a place of protection and guarding my heart from you, and then you have this epiphany realization and your pride has gone away and you've prayed, you've talked to God, you've had your personal breakthrough, you come to me in a place of rawness, it's very, very hard to be open to that. And there were moments in recent days where those breakthroughs were happening, and I can remember intentionally in a moment of tears having to make the decision whether I continued sitting in a chair or I got up and I embraced you. And knowing that physical touch is your love language, the whole time sitting in the chair, I really cannot remember the words that you said because it was just God on repeat. Get up and embrace. Get up and embrace. Get up and embrace. And that was intentional. And I think something that's so important in these conflicts is that we have to be intentional. And it's going to hurt and it's going to suck and we're not going to know the answers and we're not going to know how to move through. And I reached out to a great friend one day and in the midst, it was a couple weeks ago, maybe a little less than that, but there was a moment again, you guys understand these last few weeks, the spiritual warfare that is taking place in our home and in so many families that are close to us is so real and it is so heavy and it has been strong for the last few weeks. But I had reached out to a friend after one morning you had apologized and I sent a text and I just said, how do I move forward? How do I continue walking this path? And her and I talked on the phone for quite some time that morning and it caused more division within our home because you were not happy with me at all that morning. You were just not happy with me, yet you had apologized. And I was trying so hard to do what I felt like God was calling me to do, yet it kept creating more division. And the way Satan has been working in our life and in our friends' lives and other marriages, all it says to me is that there is some huge breakthrough on the horizon, that God has got something so big in store for us and so many others. And I know that there are people listening that can relate to this, that God is moving so big in our lives right now, that Satan has this big red target on our family, on our home, on our loved ones. And he is really working hard, which means we've got to work so much harder to battle against that spiritual warfare.
And I've noticed that, you know, not to coin a buzz phrase or whatever, but my biggest breakthroughs come after my biggest breakdowns.
For sure.
You know, yeah. And it's like, I have to give up so much of myself in the breakdown.
Right.
And wipe that slate clean because I get so full of myself sometimes.
Right.
That's when my big breakthrough happens.
And you know, something else too, Kenny, I think that prior to, I constantly use this terminology, but it's so true that prior to our relationship with God, how we handled life was so different. And I think sometimes it's easy, almost routine sometimes when we hit these conflicts, and it feels like it did years ago. It feels like it was before our walk with Christ. And I think if we approach conflict in a way that I love you, I choose you today and forevermore, and we approach the situation in that aspect, there's not this finality of we're going to divorce, because that's how it used to be. It used to be, I don't like you. This situation isn't going our way. We don't talk. We fight. We argue. And we're going to divorce and we're going to split up. And we both know, and even in the heat of how things have been over the last month or so, that's not ever been an option. It's not even a thought that's crossed my mind. But I think sometimes we get into these tough conflicts and it's fight or flight, fight, flight, or freeze. And sometimes you just want to run away. You just want to run away because you want to get away from the hurt and the pain and the rejection and the anger and the division. You just want to run away. And instead of running away, we just need to run to Him. That's what God says. Run to me. Cast all your cares on me. Cast all your worries on me. And it sounds so easy when we're sitting here talking about it, but when emotions are heated and words are flying, tempers are flying, doors are slamming, tones are rising, it's hard to remember the easiness of just cast your cares on Him, cast your worries on Him. Because we get so wrapped up in us.
It's the feelings again.
It is.
Need to be justified, warranted.
For sure. for sure. I know we're, our time is getting full here. But I'd really kind of just to wrap up this whole podcast, you know, the last month has been tough. I think that God is really bringing us through a season, but also a season for a lot of people that we really care about. I just want to briefly kind of go, being that we are, 36 hours or so, and not even that, 30 hours, 24 hours, whatever, away from 2025. I was kind of making some notes before we started the podcast and just, you know, something to think about going into this new year of a verse for the year, a word for the year, some goals and dreams, aspirations. We're about to head into 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that I've got some really important topics and things that are really, really heavy on my heart that I'm committing to prayer beginning this year. You know, it's a great friend says, tithe your day. And I think tithing our year, to start off our year with giving our time to Jesus, giving our time to God, and really being intentional with our prayer life, it's so important. So for those listening, you know, I challenge you to think about 2025. Maybe 2024 sucked and it was just a place that you are ready to kiss it goodbye and ring in this new year. What are your goals? What are your dreams? What do you feel God really tugging on your spirit about? And let's dive into those. Let's really focus on those places where you feel God stirring in your heart and in your spirit. And I hope that the next podcast that we come to, we can share what our verse for the year is, our word for the year. You know, I really want to just kind of meditate on those personally and for our family. You know, what does 2025 have in store for us? And how can we put our spirit man on top, and what can we do to make sure we're intentional with that throughout the year?
Nope. I love that.
Well, with that, I'd love to close this out in prayer. Just for those listening, I know we're coming to the end of a year. And, you know, let's just give it to God. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for all of the wonderful things that you have done for us and our family through 2024. There have been some great highs. There have been some great lows. And for each and every person listening, I pray, God, that this prayer reaches their hearts, that as 2024 comes to an end, God, that we are hopeful and joyous about what you are going to do in 2025. God, I pray for the hurting hearts. I pray for those that are broken, those that are grieving, whether it's a loss, whether it's relationships, maybe it's broken marriages, maybe it's broken relationships with children or parents. God, I pray for forgiveness. I pray for reconciliation, God. I pray that 2025 brings new hope, new joy, a new love and resolution, God. And maybe in that resolution, it's just agreeing to disagree. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it is just a peace in knowing, God, that we have put you first. God, as we are just really meditating on this year, stir in our hearts, God, convict us, give us sight on where we can change and where we can grow, God. For each and every person listening, God, I pray that you just lay on their hearts a place that they can be working on in 2025. Give us vision, give us purpose, give us a wisdom to see your path, God. Give us discernment to see your light and your vision for what this next year holds, God. Give us courage and hope to push forward in what you have for us, not ourselves, not personal gain, God, but for you, Heavenly Father. I pray for healing in marriages. I pray for bonds to grow. I pray for a strength that families will rise up and begin to be kingdom-building families together, God. I pray for intimacy in homes that are broken. I pray for spiritual growth in ways that only you can give, God. I pray for healing in 2024. As the days end, I pray for healing to come in 2025, God. I just thank you so much for this platform. I pray that you continue to bless us and our family and each and every word that comes out in these podcasts, God. I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for being with us on this episode again. On our next one, it will be the new year, 2025.
Yes.
If you are looking to pray for something for us, we are going to embark upon several very long races with our feet in the next 2 weeks, to include a marathon that we're both going to do. So
yes,
pray that God will bless our efforts and will get us through those in the endurance category.
Blister free.
Yes. And maybe with a little bit of warmth down there, yes, in Florida. So
yes.
We love you guys. Thank you for being a part of this with us. And until the next episode in 2025, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.